How are you all this morning?
Well, I had such a great week, and what made my week is I had one of my foster daughters come and visit. Melissa had come into our home when she was about 12, and she was there from about age 12 to 15. She's this little pixie. Any of you remember Melissa? She was here like 12 years ago. Yeah, there's a few of you. She's just this little pixie about that tall, and I was just... You know, she was one of those kids where, you know, okay, you got a C. That's really good. I'm glad you got a C on that test. She was one of those, you know, that I just kind of said, oh, well, where is she going in life? Well, she came back, and where she went is she's got a bachelor's degree in political science. I just went, really? She's working on her master's in sociology. She's got 3 years in the National Guard. And she is now in ROTC and will be an officer in about a year. I went, who are you? What did you do? So I was just really blessed. But the most redeeming and the best thing is, you know, when you have foster children, they come from homes where trauma has happened to them in some way or another. They've lost a parent. Parents have been removed from the equation for some reason. And one of the first things as we're talking, we talked about why we hadn't connected a couple little times over 12 years. She says, well, you know, I just have really needy parents. I said, really needy parents? She says, yeah. So she told me a little bit about her mom. And then she told me a little bit about her dad. And her dad had gone away to prison and come back out. And she told me of the story of redemption between her and her dad. And it was just so delicious to hear that. Of all of the things that she had to say to me, that was one of the neatest things. To know that God was still actively working in that relationship was really, really neat to me. All things can be healed through the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. And Melissa just kind of lived that out for me this week. It was really neat. We're back talking about blended families in our family series. And I got to run through a really quick rehash of last week because I went to step number two and I have steps to follow. And if you don't know what the steps were before it, you end up confused. So our two questions were this. Well, our three questions, actually. Does God approve of us forming a blended family? And then if so, does God have a design for a blended family? And then my third question I kind of posed is, can a blended family ever really, really be God's best? Or are we, who are in blended families, delegated to play a second string to nuclear families? And my answer was found in here.
Joseph, fear not, for that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit.
Mary. And you shall call his name Jesus. For it is he who will save his people from their sins. I know. Mary, God showed me. An angel came to me in my dream.
You believe me?
I believe you.
Your child will need a father. I will declare him as my own.
People, they will not look at you the same. They will not look at us the same.
You are my wife. I am your husband. That is all anyone need know.
Joseph, fear not. Fear not. I entitled this week, Fear Not, because I recognized that the angel had to tell Mary, had to tell Joseph, had to tell the shepherds who would come and see Jesus, fear not. And you know, Joseph was called by God to be a stepfather. Radical concept. Think about the idea. Joseph was called by God to be a stepfather. It's jolting to realize that the family of Jesus was probably the most well-known blended family ever. It's like, hold it, how does that work? You know, why is it that if God designed a nuclear family as the best, as what his design and thought was, then why did he choose to make a blended family for his only son? I mean, God can do anything. He could have brought Jesus into the world in some other way. He didn't have to start him out as a baby and bring him out. I mean, the way he chose the plan of redemption was up to him. See, but I believe the answer lies in simply this. It's understanding God's grace to mankind. The nuclear family is God's plan that was first designed for mankind. And it's still a good plan. As a matter of fact, it's a great plan. But mankind, we chose to go our own way. Remember the Garden of Eden? Anybody remember the Garden of Eden? Yeah, we kind of got it wrong in there. Now, in God's grace, he sent to us in the form of the second Adam, his only begotten son, okay, the one that came forth from him, Jesus Christ, who was the stepson of Joseph, his earthly father. When Adam's sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through the other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. See, God had a plan of redemption, and in every way possible, he wanted to get that plan of redemption through to us. And I sincerely believe that's part of why he allowed a blended family that looked somewhat like a nuclear family to be the way in which he brought redemption to the earth. See, a blended family should be, it is, God's grace. It is active, it's life-changing, transforming, rebuilding, redeeming to those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. God is good. I know it. I've lived it. God is good. God redeems. I am a broken sinner, okay? I blew up my first marriage, okay? My wife, the same happened. We, under God's grace, God brought a family together, and we are very blessed to live in that. The question, I had a gentleman come up to me this week, and he says, I've been remarried for 20 years. And he says, until last week, he says, I always thought I was living in a second best family. He says, and I came to realize that the blended family that God created for me is God's redemptive design for me. Can you understand redemptive design? Yeah? Okay. If we understand that the approval of blended family is founded in his son, now we know that we have an approved family. How does God design the blended family? And so I said there's a few steps to that. And the first is step up. This is very similar to the way God designs any family. Number one, the husband and wife must start with a personal discovery of a God who loves, forgives, and provides strength and direction. So the simple question is this. Have you fully embraced the grace of God in your life? And I asked you this week. That's between you and God. Only you know that. Only God knows that. But have you truly fully embraced the redemption that God has? Right now, you're nodding on the inside or you're questioning on the inside. Only you and God know that. But it's okay to share that with others. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And there's the other radical concept. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you make the decision to go with him, guess what blended family you end up in? Pretty crazy, huh? Wow, suddenly you're an adopted child. Wow. Okay. All right, step two, two-step. Your marriage must be the top priority. Okay, if you are in a husband and wife situation, last week I pointed out a friend of mine who was here who was a single father and always been single, but he adopted two boys, so sometimes this isn't the case. But if you are in a marriage, no matter what number that marriage might be for either partner, number one, number two, number three, and we see all kinds, building a marriage that can thrive, not just survive, in a blended family requires two individuals who both are solidly committed to be disciples of Christ, and to a healthy relationship as a couple. It is so vitally important that blended couples give constant attention to learning all they can about healthy marriage relationships and put time and energy into strengthening their marriages. Okay, I said it's vitally important, okay? You have to remember this part of the message. Blended families have not only the stressors, the things that will try to tear them apart of normal marriage, but because of the nature of the blended family, the stresses introduced from what are called satellite families increase dramatically. See, satellite families are interesting. When you get married the first time, you have in-laws, right? When you get married the second or the third time, you not only have in-laws, but now you have outlaws. Okay? It's just the truth of the matter. And if you have a child here, and this child came from a family, well, my daughter Leanna, okay? My daughter Leanna knows me as dad. But because my wife remarried twice, my first wife remarried twice, she also knew two others as dad. They were the outlaws, okay? They were the satellite families that she had to deal with. Oh, and by the way, there were grandparents to each of those. So she multiplied grandparents exponentially. It gets kind of crazy. And families will tear apart. Just like in-laws can be a challenge, outlaws can be a real challenge. So there's some vital steps I said to everybody last week. If you're going to concentrate on your marriage, you're going to keep it together, you're going to make it so it can be a thriving marriage, you got to do a couple things. Well, here are my four suggestions. Date night, a family enrichment or a marriage enrichment seminar, a time to read together and to pray together, marriage classes, which happen to not be running tonight, but they're here and available, and finally, teach your children. See, one of the problems with blended families that I truly believe perpetuates the marriages dissolving is we don't teach as blended parents, because we're ashamed that we've let it fall apart, that marriage to one man and one woman for a lifetime is God's best plan. It's true, okay? That doesn't mean that blended family is God's bad plan. Or even a second best plan. It's another plan. But it's not one that I desire for my children. And I need to teach my children that. So then I asked, what does a healthy marriage look like? Well, it looks a little bit like a healthy nuclear family. It's first, the couple's committed to go the distance no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter what comes along. They're committed to go the distance. In a blended family, it's especially important to speak that out often. There's usually failure been involved. And so my wife and I have found it extremely helpful to speak of our commitment often. And I can't tell you how important that is. A commitment to communication resolving conflict. I talked to you last week about how you can build up problems between each other and how important it is to quickly kick the bricks of conflict out of the way. If you have unresolved problems between you, they're bad in a nuclear family or nuclear marriage where you just first time with husband and wife, you let those start building in a blended couple, and they will quickly wall off two people from each other. Build up your love bank. Invest in your marriage with words, with whatever that love language is for your spouse, use it. And finally, a commitment to each other comes even before the commitment to the children. This is one of the hard ones for blended families. You know, if we give in to our biological urges, we end up in adultery. Simple as that. If we give in to them outside of marriage. If we give in outside of the marriage to our biological connections and put our biological connections to our children from our first marriage or our second marriage or whatever we combined and put together and et cetera, if we put them before we put our commitment to our marriage that we made before God, we just repeat the mistake that we had made before, but just in a different way. See, this biological connection of one parent versus the other parent to a child is one of the pitfalls of blended families. I'm just kind of curious, okay? If you were the child of a blended family where you lived at any point in time without two biological parents, would you just raise your hand a little bit for me? I'm just kind of curious. Anybody in here? Okay. I'm just kind of curious. Okay. Being that child can be rough and scary, and that's part of step three, the pitfalls of blended family. We need to sidestep some of those things. The journey for the blended family can be difficult. Anybody recall the Israelites? Remember those people? They wandered where? In the desert. And why did they wander in the desert? God hated them? No. They wandered in the desert because they made a choice. And those were poor choices. God had a will, God had a design, God had something that he wanted to do, but he made a choice. And there was a journey that started. Much like the journeys of the Israelites to the Promised Land, the journey to a God-designed blended family is one full of both expected and unexpected obstacles. And when they came, this is from Exodus, when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. There was water there, but it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Okay, if you're in a blended family, get ready for grumbling. Oh, and the people grumbled. And the kids are going to grumble. And the parents are going to grumble. Everybody's going to grumble. Unless you intentionally don't grumble. In preparing for this, I ran across a book called The Smart Step Family. I really agreed with the author in some things, and I was challenged in some other things, and I flat disagreed with him in other things. But I really like what he says here. The journey from Egypt to the Promised Land was very long. Repeatedly throughout the trip, the Israelites lost sight of God's faithfulness and protective hand. Oh, this happens so much in a blended family. Grumbling and complaining, they voiced their lack of faith and fear of dying in the wilderness. From a human standpoint, even with God in control, the journey was challenging, filled with pitfalls and uncertainty. They had to cross the Red Sea, walk day after day without knowing where they would be when the day was done. Once they crossed the Jordan River, they had to fight battles against fierce enemy nations. From a spiritual standpoint, however, the journey was ultimately in God's hands. God did all the hard work. They just had to believe and act according to their confidence in God. That task proved to be the most difficult of all, and it continues today to be the most difficult for us. See, the pitfalls that haunt blended families are many. I could go through a lot, but a few of them is we have adults who are disconnected from God due to guilt and shame caused by their breakup. I can't tell you how guilt racks people. You know, I urge step number one, you've got to have a relationship with a God who loves you and cares for you and wants to redeem. But there's so many blended families where God's ignored because of the shame that somehow you failed God and let him down by letting your first marriage go. There's unrealistic expectations within the blended family. We're supposed to look like a nuclear family. Guess what? You never can. You never will. Don't think you will. The marriage is battered by ghosts of previous relationships. I know Darlene and I dealt with this a lot at the start of our marriage. Those previous relationships, our loyalties to our biological parent or children that I mentioned, and the fact that there's emotional baggage that needs to be dealt with. These are all unique to the blended family. Battles with ex-spouses and all the various outlaws in the satellite families. Those just get really interesting. And children. You know, you got enough battles with children, but now when you got children that are battling the very existence of the family that you're trying to preserve because they want it to be back to the way it was, wow, think of that challenge. Can you understand that? Can you see where those challenges are coming from? By the way, I assume you guys are in your first marriage. Is this correct? Stay there, okay? Avoid this stuff, okay? Okay, but collect the wisdom to give to others. Okay, now I could try and give you answers to all these, but we do not have the next week, okay? And I could bring up some more, and we don't have the next month. So here's what I have to tell you today. Blended families must seek knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And where does that start? Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Proverbs 9 and 10. Fear of the Lord. What is fear of the Lord? Fear is understanding that God is the one that's in control of everything. Okay? It's an old use of the word fear, but it means to understand that we sit under the hand of a holy and righteous God who is in control. Fortunately, he's also a loving, merciful, and caring God. He is not a God who desires that we be destroyed. He desires that no one would be lost. Understanding God's word and applying it in a blended family or in a nuclear family is the first step. The next step is to find biblically based teachings, writings, and counselors to help you navigate the pitfalls of a blended family to the promised land. Now, here's a clue. It takes time. Okay? My wife and I, after 30 years, think we have an idea of how to figure it out. Okay? But we are starting to see some of those blessings of God that God has put into our daughters, God has put into our grandchildren. I told my wife I came here last Sunday to... last Saturday, they were having Ecclesia. I was trying to get ready for the sermon, and all I wanted to do was grab something off the soundboard. Ecclesia was going on, but I was trying to work on the sermon. Well, as I came through, that door opened up, and my granddaughter, who is the daughter of my daughter Natalie, who came to me as a foster child, who we became legal guardians of, my granddaughter saw me, and it was all over with. I was going nowhere, and my agenda was history, okay? Because this little body came running at me. So there was a time when I doubted I would ever see a grandchild, and if I did, how could that grandchild ever love me because I was the grandpa that had blown up a marriage. Little did I know the redeeming work and the things that God had in store, but it's a slow process. Do not be impatient with it. And do not be impatient with people who find themselves in these blended families. Help them, encourage them, tell them to hang in there and trust in God's faithfulness. Okay, step number four is step in line with the parenting team. Okay, this is a concept that's going to wrestle your brain cell. Step in line with the parenting team. Author Elizabeth George writes this. Parenthood is a partnership with God. So who's first in line? God? Okay. You are not molding iron or chiseling marble. You are working with the creator of the universe in shaping human character and determining destiny. This is true whether you are in a nuclear family or you are in a blended family. Who is number one in line in your child's life? Come on, it's an easy answer. 1, 2, 3, God. Okay? God is the first parent of every single child. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. Okay? But the truth that blended families, blended couples often ignore is if divorce has been involved, or, and I also will say if death has been involved, the death of a parent, it did not end family life. It just created a reorganization. And it's that reorganization that people have to deal with. I mentioned my daughter Leanna earlier. My other daughters, Jen and Dawn, also had two dads and three moms, as a matter of fact, to deal with, although they never dealt with one of them until a little bit later. I mean, it gets crazy. My daughter Natalie only had two dads and two moms to deal with. And here in town right now, as those of you who know it, she has two moms that she balances back and forth between. And I told you last week, by the way, how you deal with satellite families and outlaw families. We weren't here. Oh, well, I should tell you this. Here's how you deal with them. You embrace them. You embrace them just as Jesus Christ embraces us in our fallenness. You embrace them. You do not run from them. You embrace them, and you share God's love and redemptive power with them. Also, radical concept, isn't it? Okay. Okay. So the truth is, blended families ignore that things are getting reorganized. Ron Deal, the same author, writes this, and I like this. In Genesis 21, Sarah, we remember Sarah, she was a little old when she had a child, right? Okay. Refused to consider Hagar or Ishmael as having a place in Abraham's life. Sarah showed great hostility and selfishness when she insisted that Abraham exclude Ishmael from the inheritance. She was looking out for her son and good old number one. In fact, her actions were driven by fear of Isaac not getting the full blessing from Abraham, anger because Hagar and Ishmael were mocking Isaac, and jealousy because Hagar had given Abraham the highly prized firstborn son. But why did she act that way? She didn't she know what was coming when she encouraged Abraham to give her a child through a union with Hagar? Don't you know what's coming when you get into a blended family situation? No! No! And that's part of the problem, is we don't recognize it. She didn't recognize it, and neither do most adults realize that what they must give up to successfully integrate in a step family. Okay, hold it. Drink of water. All these nice drugs stop certain things, but they also mean you're extremely dry here. Okay. Here's what you need to hear today. This is your great message for today. Okay? If you find yourself in a blended family situation, you're trying to help someone in a blended family situation, you want to talk to your children who are in a blended family situation, you want to do any of that, here's the news that you need to know. If you are the new parent to a child in a new blended family, get in line. Okay? Recognize you're the new parent. Get in line. It will take some time for you to move up the parenting line with children who are not biologically your own. But also hear this. God does great things. If we will set aside our rights, our needs, even our dreams, God will give us a place in each child's life just as he designed a place for Joseph in the life of Jesus. My daughter Natalie, who we consider our adopted daughter, she is so much my daughter, and she has so much blessed me to call me dad. And I can still remember the first time she called me dad. Her father, I never had to deal with directly. I had to deal with his ghost because he passed away. And it was so important, and God showed me this right away with her. is I could never try to be dad because she needed to hang on to her father. I could never insist that I'm your dad now, or in this household, I'm the father. I could never insist those things. But gradually, over time, not only was she able to release her father to the Heavenly Father, was she able to let go of that, but I found her able to embrace me as dad. There is no greater blessing, let me tell you that, in a blended family than to suddenly realize that the child who has been calling you Scott or Darlene's husband is suddenly calling you dad. And I cherish the card that came to me the first time where she wrote in it, dad. I cherish that card. Okay, there you go. That's my sentimental for the moment. See, God does great things. God will give us a place in each child's life, but we've got to get in line. I got to read this to you. Either this scripture from Luke 2, you've heard this story, but look at the nuance in it. That's what I want you to pick up. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, we all love 12-year-olds, right? Okay. When he was 12 years old, went to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. They traveled in caravan. They weren't bad parents. It's okay. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem and looked for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" They did not understand what he was trying to say to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I thought I turned that off. It's still dinging. Okay. See, now listen here. Joseph, head of his family, leader of his children, which, by the way, there were a lot of stepbrothers and sisters involved in this, protector and provider, had to be reminded of his role by his stepson. Even mom had to be reminded. See, I believe that when Jesus first spoke to Mary and Joseph, he spoke to them as the divine. He spoke to them within his divinity and said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" In other words, why aren't you supporting me in this? Why haven't you recognized your place in line? But then Jesus, in his humanity, also stepped into line. It says, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. So Jesus was not the wild child. Jesus running off. Jesus was simply responding to the order of things. And he was responding to his father's call to sit before him and to teach those who need to know in his divinity. But when his mother and father came to call him, he obediently responded in his humanity. The stepson, showed us all how it's done. See, as I said before, getting in line takes knowledge and wisdom. It's just like all the pitfalls. You gotta figure this stuff out. You gotta learn from it. You gotta gain knowledge in it. And it takes time. Okay? I can't even imagine what life was like from age 1 to 12. okay, in the Jesus household, in the Joseph and Mary household. You know, you look, and there were definitely siblings involved, and there was some craziness involved, I'm sure, and what they knew and what they didn't know, and kind of crazy. But it took time. It took time. I do find it interesting that Joseph receded to such a role, stepped back so much from the biblical narrative. And I always do wonder that. It's one of the first questions I will be asking. I've got a pretty big list of first questions, though, when I get to heaven. I want to find out exactly. So how did it go with you after age 12 and he became obedient to you? I want to hear some more about this. Okay, so we had step four, you know, step in line. Step in line. As a parent, get there. Now step five. Step out in faith and step away from fear. Step out in faith and step away from fear. Is this step only for the blended family? No? Let's see here. I think here's where it's unique in the blended family. Fear is the most insidious destroyer of the blended family. See, because fear always comes from within. And I think within blended families, you usually find people will support blended families fairly good. I know we in the church have learned our lesson, and we support blended families now. But within the blended family, we have to recognize that fear comes. As we set aside our ideas, our control, our plans, and we walk daily looking for God to work in all the elements of the family and make it work as he redeems and rebuilds family through his redeeming work, this can be a scary process. Blended families are not easy. And there's some unique fears that go within a blended family. Parents, they feel out of control. And out of control of their children. Children, they fear the unknown. This is all new to them. They have no idea what happened to dad, what happened to mom, what's going on here. And they're so afraid of losing the love of their biological parent to this new dad or this new mom. For the adopted child in the blended family, they're trying to figure out, will anybody ever really love me? Because I've lost those who biologically were designed to love me. And just honestly, we all fear failure. This fear can eat us up. Okay, I've been heavy about this. This is the fact. Fear is there. But you know what? Families are fun. I talked to you last week about that evil guy, Walt Disney, and his great stepmother plan to I don't know what was wrong with him. But, you know, it's not only him that came up with a plan to make you fearful of stepmothers. I discovered that Paramount Studios did the same thing. So you get a little worried about not just stepmothers, but stepfathers. Watch this little clip.
Admiral Frank Beardsley runs a tight ship.
Let's go, let's go, let's go!
Aye, aye, sir!
William, what have you got there?
Academy applications, SAT forms, and the number of the girl two houses down.
Outstanding.
Helen North.
Mom!
What?
He's hanging our roses again!
George!
Takes a more relaxed approach.
Homes are for free expression, not for good impressions.
They're total opposites.
It was so romantic.
I was up all night Googling her.
Gee, Frank, you Googled some chick?
What do you think that means?
Something dirty.
And a perfect match.
So,
I asked her to marry me.
And I said yes.
What? Helen, this is my crew.
Looks like the J. Crew catalog came to life.
Frank, these are my kids.
Total freak show.
This Thanksgiving.
Listen up!
These are your schedules with latrine times.
Mom gets married, we get drafted.
Styles are conflicting.
What are you doing?
It's called decorating.
That's called vandalism.
Hey.
Forget about it. He's cute, but totally shallow. Then again, maybe he is your type.
Cultures are clashing.
I have to get ready for school.
Nothing says time to get out of the bathroom like...
Fire!
What are you doing?
Webcasting.
And the only thing that can bring them together...
1 hour, see together, gonna be best friends.
Raise a cheer!
From here
is a plan.
None of us likes this situation, but if we want out, we gotta stop fighting and get them to start
to break their parents apart.
Surprise!
It's clean.
I can't work with clean. I have a deadline.
The admiral always says a clean ship is a happy ship.
I knew you put them up to us.
Is it what you think?
Yes.
Then I think that I'm sleeping somewhere else.
Dennis Quaid, Rene Russo.
We just need one more big thing to push them over the edge.
Stop!
Yours, mine, and ours.
Everybody ready? Hi, you breach Frank.
Helen.
Harry.
Michael.
Oliver.
Joni.
Phoebe.
William.
Otter.
Eli.
Christina.
Ethan.
Nick.
This new dad. Oh my gosh. He's just, and the new mom, she's kind of a space case. You look at these things, you look at this movie, and it's funny, it's hilarious. But if you're in a blended family, here you are. You start seeing some of your truths, and some of the things you're afraid of. See, it's true that fear can overcome anything, but fear... when it is fostered, okay? And I use the word foster for a particular reason. What does foster mean? Does anybody tell me what a foster parent does? Okay, take the place of. So fear, when it takes the place of something, okay, will be, I don't know why I put is often, but will be the killer of the blended family, the nuclear family, your own individual life. Fear, when it is fostered, when it takes the place of something else. And what it takes the place of is faith. See, you have to step out in faith and step away from fear. In a blended family, in a nuclear family, in your own life. And we all have our fears. We all have our fears. But in a blended family, they're really, really got some unique ones. When you choose to step away from fear, you are making a choice to step out in faith. Step out in faith to the God who redeems. Radical concept? No. Biblical concept. We must not let fear in the blended family tear it apart. We must not let fear in ourselves tear us apart. Matthew 6, pretty famous verses. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Okay, I got to stop right there. Please raise your hand if you don't worry about your life. You are going against God's word. And you kind of smile about it. I do the same thing. But think about that. You're going against God's word when you worry about your life. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about God's life, what you will eat or drink. Yeah, I'll just put my feet up and watch TV all day. Or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? One of the things I do when I counsel people that are coming out of broken lives is I tell them you have to develop a work ethic. And, you know, well, I'm always trying to earn. No, you don't have to earn money. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You have to develop a work ethic. You have to work because God has called us to work. Not because God has said go earn a living. That isn't what, he's taking care of us. He's our provider. He's the one that will give all. This is clear. I mean, this isn't like an ambiguous statement. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink or about your body or what you will wear. This is not ambiguous. So why work? You have to do it because it's what God called us to. Remember the garden? Remember that place where we fell from? That's where we lost track of what we were doing and why we were doing it. Because God set man's hand to a task and said, this is your task. Name these animals and care for this garden. And God sets every one of us to a task. So this verse is not an excuse to sit on your butt. All right? Let me be really clear about that. But this verse is an excuse to say God is in control. Now, I'll tell you, this is a tough sell. This is a tough sell. And to apply this truth in a blended family, fear can easily overcome and convince you that this does not apply. Here is the truth. Balderdash. You like the word balderdash? Have you heard the word balderdash? Why, I love the word balderdash. Foolish words or ideas or nonsense, Merriam-Webster says. You got two choices. Either this is balderdash or your thinking is balderdash. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to God and his word? Or are you going to listen to your own thinking? Which one is balderdash? Think about that. A friend shared this story with me yesterday. From Charles Stanley, or this little thing from Charles Stanley yesterday. I guess it was out of a devotional. And this is what Charles Stanley said. I decided long ago that I wouldn't let apprehension stop me from doing what God calls me to do. However, before I take my stand against fear, I must first admit it is there. That's the key to conquering feelings of trepidation. There's no shame in admitting that you are fearful. In the Psalms, King David confesses several times that he is afraid. However, his confession is always wrapped in prayer, acknowledging the Lord's power over both his apprehension and his enemies. The same power is available to you today. God wants to cast out the fear and doubt in your life. Go before him right now and say, Lord, this is what I am afraid of. So I would urge you to do this, whether you're in a blended family, nuclear family, or just sitting here as a single person today. I would urge you to look at your life and say, what am I afraid of? Psalm 55, David says this, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. It's hard to be fearful when his praise is on your lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, and who of us do not? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from telling lies. Don't speak fear. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. My wish for you today, my benediction on you today, is simply this. May you and your blended families, in your nuclear families, in this family of God that you sit in as an adopted child today, always have his praise on your lips. Very hard to be fearful at that time. May he deliver you from all of your fears. May you turn from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue him with all your heart. God bless you and keep you this week. Stand in your faith in Christ. God bless.